We're in a series, What You Do Best in the Body of Christ. We're looking at spiritual gifts. We're in week number three of spiritual gifts. Let me tell you, I'm really excited about this idea of opening ourselves up to the Spirit of God in our lives, understanding that He has gifts for us, and exercising those gifts accordingly. Well, this morning, I want us to look at the misuse of the gifts. I want us to look at the duller side of spiritual gifts. It is not because the Holy Spirit is dull or the Spirit of God is dull. It's sometimes we get in the way of the Spirit of God. We put me against thee, and in the process of doing so, there's mishaps. There's misuse of the spiritual gifts. And so I want us to look at that. But before we go into the future message, I kind of want to go back and do a refresh of what took place last week. Last week, we understood that spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to Christ's followers. Understand this, that spiritual gifts are only given to Christians, Christ's followers. You can have natural talent and be just as lost. Natural talent is not the same as spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are only given by God the Holy Spirit to Christ's followers. Another thing that we looked at last week is gifts are exercised by followers, Christ's followers, to build up the body of Christ. The function of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us the gifts. We open up our lives to those gifts, and then we exercise those gifts to build up the body of Christ. I was given this box of chocolate not too long ago. Well, really, Christmas time. It's peppermint chocolate, but it's still fresh. But I'll tell you, I think sometimes we, as Christ followers, it takes a season for us to understand our spiritual gifts. We know what Jesus did on the cross for us. We know that our sins are forgiven. But I think sometimes we're like, okay, I'm saved. Is that it? No, it's just the beginning, folks. Salvation is the beginning process of what God wants to do in and through our lives. And part of that is spiritual gifts, showing us what He has in store for us, but we've got to be willing to open it up. Now, let's see if I can do this. Oh, I did. Just like I'm willing to open up this box of chocolate this morning, we've got to be willing to open up our lives to the Spirit and say, Lord, I'm a Christ follower. What gifts do you have for me to follow? And then we've got to be willing to open up those spiritual gifts and not just have them open, but share them. This won't go all the way back, but I'm going to start here. I'm going to start with the youth section because youth like chocolate, right? So go ahead. Just as I opened up that box of chocolate, and I'm now sharing that box of chocolate with others, what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in our lives is He wants to open up our spiritual gifts, show us what they are, so that we may exercise those spiritual gifts and build up the body of Christ. Just as that chocolate will add weight to your body, the Holy Spirit gifts will build up the body of Christ. And then finally, understand this, every Christ follower has at least one spiritual gift. I can't tell you how many times I hear Christ followers say, I don't have any spiritual gifts. I have no idea what my spiritual gifts are. Well, let me tell you, I'm pretty excited about a session that we're going to do this summer. We're going to take out, during Sunday school, we're going to take about 6 weeks out in Sunday school. We're going to have an elective class on defining and understanding your spiritual gifts and how to put them into practice. That's going to happen this summer. Summer's just around the corner. So if you are at all intrigued about your spiritual gift and how you operate in the body of Christ, Sunday school is coming out this June, and we're going to have a six-week series on how to identify your spiritual gifts and put them into practice. Pretty excited about that series because let me tell you, I want 100% of Christ followers in this church exercising their gift or gifts because it builds up the body of Christ and brings glory to the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. So last week we looked at the many gifts. And we went through different accounts of Scripture, both in Ephesians and First Corinthians. We were also in the book of First Peter. We were looking at all these spiritual gifts that God the Holy Spirit gives us. And we remember, and I just want to remind you that in that message, not one person has all the spiritual gifts. Not one person can have all the spiritual gifts, because all the spiritual gifts, if we all had them, then it would make us not need the body of Christ. And we need one another. I need you. You need me. We need each other. So not one of us have all the spiritual gifts, but we have spiritual gifts to share. But the function of these gifts exercised through the body of Christ does bring unity and glory to God as we're exercising them according to Scripture. So how can these spiritual gifts given by the Spirit of God to believers be misused? Well, this morning I have a few things that I want you to help me with, because I want you to identify what they are and the function of what they are. So track with me. What is this? Okay, it's stapler. What is it used for? Yeah, stapling papers, absolutely. Staplers staple paper. What is this? Okay, yes, it's a knife, but it's even more specific. It's a butter knife. And what is it used for? Okay, to spread things. I guess you could cut things. It's got a little serrate on it, so it might be able to cut, but really it's used to spread things on items that we consume. Okay, so that's a butter knife. And what is this third thing? It's a little larger than normal. Well, yeah, it's a straw or a whistle. No, it really is a straw. Keep it as a straw. And what is the function of a straw? Okay, yeah, suck out it, get some drink in you. Yeah, we put it in our cups, we put it in our water bottles, and we suck up the fluids, the water, the juice, pop, whatever it is, and it just refreshes our body physically. So these are three things. And by the way, give yourselves a hand. You were correct in all those things. Those are really the real things. But can I tell you, I have misuse of these objects at times. Although we've already identified what their function is and what they are, your pastor is guilty of not using these correctly. In my home, this could be a hammer. Where if I don't want to go upstairs or downstairs or out in the garage to get a hammer, and yet I see something that's like this, a blunt object, I will grab this and take a nail and put a hole in my wall to hang up a picture. Was the stapler meant to be a hammer? Did I use it as a hammer? Okay, misuse. Butter knife. To spread wonderful things. What do you think I use this for? Screwdriver, yes. You know your pastor very well. I've got about 5 tools in my toolbox, okay? So what I'll do, if I'm in the kitchen and one of the cabinets are getting a little bit loose, again, don't want to go upstairs, don't want to go downstairs, don't want to go out in the garage, I'll simply go into the silverware drawer, grab this out, and tighten the cabinet. Now, I stay away from outlets. I'm not foolish. But is this butter knife meant to be a screwdriver? A misuse. Now, this one will gross some of you out. I'm already warning you. Straw. Well, spit what? Well, you do know your pastor very well.
Floss.
Dental floss, yes. I know. I can be at a restaurant, pulled pork. Saddleback has an awesome, awesome pulled pork sandwich there in Okemos. And it's got slaw, and it's got pulled pork. It's got barbecue sauce. It's got delicious written all over it. But the problem is sometimes that stringy pork, when I'm eating it, it gets lodged into my teeth. And if you look very carefully and closely while I'm drinking my water, I will slowly use my straw as dental floss. Now you may say, oh, you are gross. I don't know. What's grosser, trying to be subtle and get the pork out of your teeth, or just let that stringy pork hang on your teeth? Both are pretty gross, but I think I'd rather have the first rather than the latter. The function of a straw is not a dental floss. Misuse. And so this morning we're going to look at things, spiritual gifts, that God, the Holy Spirit, has given us for the purpose of building up the body of Christ, to glorify the head of the church, and to bring about unity among us. And we're going to see how maybe at times we could be guilty of misusing them. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I'll tell you, Paul, for whatever reason, really drove home a lot of messages to the church in Corinth about the Holy Spirit. I think because God was doing some wonderful things in the region of Corinth, I believe that also the enemy was equally trying to stir up dissension in the church of Corinth. I think Paul was pretty direct in trying to get them to understand that God, the Holy Spirit, had a purpose for their church. It was supernatural. It was to make them never the same again, to bring glory and honor to not only the church and to Christ, the head of the church, but also to transform the region of Corinth for the honor and glory of God's kingdom. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting to read with verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, however, or others, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To others, miraculous signs or powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirit. To another, speaking the different kinds of tongues. And to still others, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So this morning, as we begin this idea of spiritual gifts, we've opened up our lives and we said, Lord, we want to be not only known as a Christ follower, but we want to be known as exercising the fruit as well as the gifts of the Spirit. God, would you show us how we use it properly and how we could even be guilty of misusing the gift? So I want us to pinpoint three areas of how we can misuse the gifts of the Holy Spirit if we're not careful. First of all, if it brings glory to you and not to Jesus. On the back of your bulletin, you'll see an outline. You can fill in the blanks if you want to. You can just follow along if you want to with us as we're preaching this morning. But one of the misuses of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is if it brings glory to you and not to Jesus Christ. Throughout Scripture, we will see countless times that we are to stay clear of pride. We are to stay clear of foolishness as well as selfishness as Christ's followers. These gifts that God the Holy Spirit has given us through His Spirit want to bring joy to not only Jesus, the head of the church, but want to bring about unity within the body of Christ. And if we are not careful, if the glory comes back to us rather than God, it's a misuse of the gift. Last week, we talked about the spiritual gift of mercy. And the spiritual gift of mercy is simply having that unconditional love, just as Jesus had to so many people. He was known for unconditional love. And the gift of mercy is just simply that, unconditional love. Well, you say, well, how can I misuse the gift of mercy? How can I actually not love a person unconditionally? How can I get off track? Well, this is how it happens. Many times, those that might have the spiritual gift of mercy confuse it with conditional love. even though unconditional love is part of mercy, it's what God has given us through his son Jesus and through the Holy Spirit of God. If we are not careful, we can love conditionally rather than unconditionally and misuse the gift. You say, well, how do I misuse love? Well, love confronts. Love goes the extra mile. Love speaks truth in love. And sometimes if we are not careful, we can just cover everything under this big blanket of love and not put up boundaries or accountability within the body of Christ. I love in the Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at a well experience. And Jew and Samaritans should not even have been talking to each other, but Jesus connected with the Samaritan woman, for he had unconditional love for her. He saw her where she was at. She was a sinner, living in adultery, far from God, and living in the guilt of her sin. This unconditional love that Jesus had for this woman not only went to her, which was culturally inappropriate, but yet he did it anyways because mercy, unconditional love was exercised through Jesus. But he did not just say, love ya. He spoke the truth in love and called her out for where she was sinning. Not judging her, just simply calling her out and letting her know that there was a living hope on the other side of her sin. So this misuse that could happen in the area of mercy would be that if we saw someone that was willfully sinning in the body of Christ, showing up every Sunday morning, singing praises, praying the prayers, might even come to the altar, but we know they're living in willful sin, and we have the gift of mercy, and we love them, we love them, we love them, but we never confront them with their sin, that's a misuse of the gift. You see, if you have the gift of mercy, guess what you get away with? You get to speak the truth and love, and people like it. That's the beauty. See, I don't have the gift of mercy. I love people, but I don't have the spiritual gift of mercy. So sometimes when I confront people, they get a little offended. Mercy people don't get it. They can come and exercise their full gift of mercy. They can speak the truth and love, and people go, oh, thank you for calling me out on my sin. I want to repent. I want to be all that God would have me to be. The misuse is to avoid the confrontation, to avoid the talk that says, you know what, I love you so much, and as hard as I have to say, you're in error. You're living in sin. And Jesus has a living hope if you'll just turn that over to him. So the first misuse is whenever the gift comes back to me rather than thee, it's a misuse of the gift. Paul goes on further in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we all know 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Coincidentally, how many of you in your marriage vows had 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in your ceremony, the love chapter? Any of you? I know I did. Oh, you bunch of heathens. What happened? What scripture were you using in the Bible for your wedding? Come on. Honor and obey. Okay, honor and obey. Okay. Submit. The Ephesians passage. But I will tell you, before we get to this love is patient, love is kind, this wonderful thing that we all remember of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul kind of lays down a little exercise for us. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So in this preamble, prior to, he says, love is patient, love is kind. Before he lays out all this wonderful thing of what love is, he says, if you have the absence of love in your life, you're going to misuse the spiritual gifts. The very thing that God has given you supernaturally inside of you, one or more of those gifts will be misused if you're not exercising it through this idea of love. So the first misuse is if it brings glory to you rather than to Jesus. The second misuse, if it doesn't build up the body of Christ. That's the second misuse. If your spiritual gift is exercised and it's not building up the body of Christ, it's a misuse. And you say, well, why is it a misuse? Because that's one of the major reasons why God has given us spiritual gifts through his Holy Spirit, is so that it would be used to build up the body of Christ. As I said last week, and I remind us this morning, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are used to build up the body of Christ. And so can I suggest a few things in the area of building up the body of Christ that I think are noteworthy, so that we know that we don't misuse the spiritual gifts? First of all, we are called to promote truth and unity. So as we are exercising our spiritual gifts, understand this, folks, that we are to promote truth and unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, therefore, each one of us should put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. We are all members of one body. So we need to speak about unity and build each other up. Another suggestion is that we're called to service. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 11, it talks about this idea that we're to build each other up, but as we're building each other up, as we're exercising our gifts one to each other, we are building this idea of service and ministry. We're kind of compressing our lives together for the purpose of glorifying God through his son Jesus and building a stronger core within the body of Christ. Another thing that we need to understand in this idea of spiritual gifts is we are called to share Jesus. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. You see, as we exercise our spiritual gifts, if we're using them in the right manner, we will want to, and it will naturally or supernaturally be about sharing Jesus. I'll tell you, this last week, as we had the opportunity to host many of your family and friends and coworkers and neighbors in our community for this movie, I Could Only Imagine, let me tell you, this was not buying a $4 ticket. It was not about that. It was about showing our love of God and our love of others, to want to give them the message of hope through something that might have never come inside the wall of a church, but they heard in a movie theater. I just praise God for all the things that took place and are continuing to take place because of that movie speaking into so many people's lives. But we're called to share Jesus, and that's what we did this last week, and I praise God for what he did through us. We're also called to worship. When we are exercising our spiritual gifts according to the Spirit that lives within us, there's a sense of worship. Not only did we have a worship experience here this morning here at Raleigh, but we can have a daily worship experience as we live to honor God. And then finally, we are called to love one another. Love builds up. Love protects. Love defends. Love speaks truth. Love does all of this so that the body of Christ may be unified and that the head of the church, Jesus Christ, may be glorified. Unified and glorified is what happens when we exercise our spiritual gifts the correct way. But if our gifts are not used to build up the body of Christ, it could be a misuse on our part. I think some of the aesthetic gifts, the gifts like speaking in tongue or interpretation of tongue, maybe prophecy or the gift of discernment, some of the aesthetic gifts that seem a little more wow than maybe teacher or pastor, mercy, those seem to kind of be, they can be kind of intermingled with natural talent. These aesthetic gifts seem a little more wow, supernatural. But can I tell you, all of them are supernatural? From the gift of teaching to the gift of prophecy, it's all supernatural, okay? But I think sometimes if we are not careful, if the gift comes back to us, it's a misuse. Did you notice today when I opened the candy, I exposed the gift that was given, I shared it. What did I not do? I did not take a piece of that candy myself. For the sole purpose to come to this illustration, in our spiritual gifts, we never can bring the gifts back to us. We need to give it to the Lord. So when someone sees you exercising your spiritual gift, that's nothing. Yeah, it's just what I do. No, you give it to God. You give the glory back to God and say, well, you know what? it's just the Spirit of God living in me. This is one of my spiritual gifts. And it's not a boastful thing. It's a testimony thing that it's not me, but it's God in me that produces what you just experienced. It's God in me that has produced this wonderful thing that's happening, that's building you up, making you feel more encouraged, and checking you to see where you're at in right relationship with God. So these gifts that the Holy Spirit of God gives us are to be checked so that we're using them appropriate, so that it does, in fact, build up the body of Christ. And then the last thing that I think is important for us to understand this morning, so that we don't misuse the spiritual gifts, if it is not a good witness for non-believers. By a show of hands, how many of you know people that are turned off by the church? 100% of our hands better go up, because we know at least one person that is turned off by the body of Christ. Something got them upset, yanked their chain, hurt their feelings, broke their spirit, that made them feel less than loved and cherished by the body of Christ. And can I just say, I'm sorry if that's you. If somehow in your journey you were wounded by the body of Christ, I apologize on behalf of the body of Christ. I know I'm not the entire body of Christ, but I'm sorry. It wasn't meant to be that way. God did not instruct us to be agents of weapons towards each other, but we were supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ building the church. And so if that did not happen, I apologize. And I ask that you would forgive that person or persons or even church that did that to you, so that you can be all that the Lord would have you to be. But I will tell you, as non-believers looking on inside the walls of the church, spiritual gifts are very, very important. You see, non-believers look on and say, what is going on in that church? What's going on in that community of believers? And what we need to be about is we need to be about good report. We need to be about exciting things that are happening in and through the life of this church, and in and through the life of you as individuals who are in this church. You see, the same Spirit that gives us supernatural gifts is the same Spirit that draws unsaved believers to become believers. Non-believers to believers by who? The Spirit of God. The very Spirit that has given you supernatural gifts is the very Spirit that is speaking to the unbeliever and saying, trust me, believe me, repent and follow my Son Jesus. I've got a plan for your life. So the same Spirit that has given us supernatural gifts to exercise to build up the body of Christ, as well as the head of the church, Jesus Christ, is also the same Spirit that is drawing lost people to him. So how important is it that we exercise the spiritual gifts correctly? Oh, I can't overemphasize how important it is, church, that we get our spirit in line with God's Spirit, that we do his gifting in us, living through us, so that when people see us, and I say this a lot, when people see us, they don't see us, they see Jesus in us. Well, when they see Jesus in us, what they're really seeing is the Holy Spirit of God at work in and through our lives. So my prayer for us this morning, in closing, is that we'd be a church, we'd be an individual that does not misuse the Spirit, but we manifest the Spirit of God and do supernatural things in his name for the honor and glory of God's kingdom.